Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And this morning and next Sunday morning, God willing, we'll conclude our study in this book, one that I chose for our summer study. And then I want to bring to you some things that I feel like would be helpful to us just concerning the general work that we're all involved in as God's people. And then I think as a winter subject, our winter source of our study together on Sunday mornings, we'll be going to the book of Hebrews. So I hope that as we look forward to being together this winter, that that'll be one thing that'll make us all feel close together, is that we're studying from another one of the great books of God's Word. But this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. All of these verses, really have to do with verse 9 of chapter 11, where the writer records, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." The idea of this entire book has been that men look at life as we may view it without Almighty God, without judgment, without life after death, without Jesus Christ, without the Bible, without divine revelation. And then to sum up the matter, what did all this teach us? What can we really benefit from looking at these things and considering them in the proper light? Well, the Bible teaches us that since life is brief, it's filled with all kinds of problems, that the best thing we can do is start out young, have our heart right with God, and to walk in the ways that are right and good, the things that make us feel good, to look at the things that are wholesome and righteous and godly, but to always be conscious of the fact that God will bring everything into judgment. We can't get too far astray. We can't get too far away and just look at the things that we like and the things that bring us pleasure, but remember always that everything will be brought into judgment by Almighty God. We live in a time when I believe young people are given less and less credit for having the ability to make good decisions, to live good lives, to enjoy the things that are noble and holy and good. It seems like we've just written them off. It seems like we're saying every one of them will experiment with drugs, that all of them will experiment in sex before marriage. There's really not anything we can do about it, and really if we could, we wouldn't. We just sort of turn them over to Penthouse and Playboy and say that's the way that our young people are, and there's not any real choice for them. I don't believe that. I believe there are young people that can take advice. And I believe that it's a part of our duty as people who know about life to give them the advice and the kind of information that will make their lives better. And I think that's what Solomon has done as he writes to the people who still have time to make something of themselves, to use their youth not for simply reveling in the flesh, but give it to the things of God. In verse 1 of chapter 12, he writes, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the evil days come not is a statement that doesn't have to do with the things that we call sin. It simply means to do things while there is still energy enough to do them. To do the things while there's still not only time, but while there is energy, before bad times set in your life. Do things before the time of not being filled with the energy you once had sets upon you, and you say, I have no pleasure in them. That is, the enthusiasm and the energy of youth has already flown, and so now everything is done out of extra effort. Everything is done because you sort of have to pick yourself up and throw yourself into it and hope that you can get it done. I think you're approaching what we might term middle age, or even past that, when you begin to think about something before you do it. You begin to think about how tired you're going to be, or how much energy it's going to take, or how much time it's going to take. You look at all these things, and then many times you just decide not to do it. That's a sign of old age. Youth really doesn't have that problem. They have an aboundless kind of energy. Well, let's do it. And they don't think about it being well into the night before you get it done. Or they don't think about the sore muscles you're going to have if you really involve yourself in this activity. They just get on with it and get it done. Now, what happened to you physically with the passing of time? Well, the writer has chosen highly figurative language to describe why you ought to do things in your youth, why you ought to serve God and remember Him, because this is the time of your high energy. This is a time when you don't think about some of the things that we're going to look at this morning that are mentioned in this chapter. First of all, he states, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. Now, this doesn't have to do with the seeing of things. It's not losing your eyesight. But it has to do with the pleasures of life. It has to do with the things that happen that bring us joy. That is, things that are like the moon, and things that are like the sun, and things that are like the light that we see, and things that are like the stars that shine. This has to do with the events and circumstances of life. When we can say, I really enjoyed having that, I really enjoyed being there, I really enjoyed doing that, they are in sort of descending order. There are things that are like the moon. There are things that are like the sun. There are things that are like the stars, lesser, and yet they're real and they're enjoyable to us when we have a certain degree of health. We ought to get involved in doing things that are truly pleasure-giving while there is the ability to appreciate them. Or the clouds return after the rain. He has in it the idea of monotonous cycles, paying the price. You know, you just get through with one rain, everything sort of drains off, thing begins to dry out, and you look, and there's another cloud on the horizon. Here comes another rain. It's like the rainy cycle in a tropical or subtropical area. You can always depend on there being another cloud on the horizon. You can always depend on there being another shower. It doesn't mean that these things are bad. It doesn't mean that they're good. It just means that after a certain period of time, you begin to recognize that you're not ever going to get everything fixed. You're not ever going to get well so that you're never sick again. You're never going to get all the bills paid so that you don't ever have another bill. You're not ever going to buy your last car because you're going to always need one probably. It just means that things are going to go on and go on and go on. And after a while, you recognize the cyclical motion of things, and you also get a little tired of how monotonous they are, get a little tired of how they happen and how regularly they happen to you. Now, youth has a different outlook on life. You know, a youth, when he goes to the dentist, the youth will say, I had one cavity, I got that filled, thank God that's all over. An older person, when they go to the dentist, they have one cavity, they think about, well, I probably need false teeth before long. It's got a different viewpoint of things. Doesn't mean that either viewpoint is wrong, but he's just saying, look, get involved in things when you have the optimism and the energy and the outlook to enjoy them and to get things done. Because one of these days, things are going to be different. Your body is going to be different. And he tells us how different it's going to be. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. The keepers of the house are our arms and our hands. And there's going to come a time when the keepers of the house began to weaken, and they began to have problems of being steady, and they reach out for things and they tremble. Do something before the keepers of the house begin to tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. That, of course, is our legs. The keepers of the house are our arms. The strong men of the house are the legs, because our thighs, that's the strongest muscles of our body, and they begin to bow themselves. They begin to lose their power and their strength. And the grinders cease because they're few. That's our teeth. This was before the age and day of dentistry, and as you got older, you lost teeth. And now he describes a person's older age as a time when the grinders are few. That is, this person has lost many teeth, and therefore they have difficulty chewing their food. And because they look out of the windows, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. The language here describes a person who's being affected by a loss of vision. It really portrays the problems that a person begins to have when they are in the early stages of cataracts. Things are dim. Things are clouded. And they know that if things continue, then they're going to be totally darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Here again is a description of a person losing their hearing. The doors to the world are our ears. And the grinding that is done is now not heard as well as it once was. One of the daily chores of this culture was to grind the grain into a small portion so that it could be used to making bread. And that was something that was done daily, and it made a particular sound. But now this person can't hear as well as they once did. The grinding is low. and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. That doesn't mean that the birds wake him up and he can't go back to sleep. It just means that this individual wakes up early and it's at the time that the birds happen to be singing. You just wake up, you can't go back to sleep, so it's time to get up. There was a time as a young person when you couldn't be awakened. And that metamorphosed into a time when you couldn't go to sleep. Things change. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. This simply means that a person's appreciation of things such as music and what all it involves is diminished. Music always was a call to perhaps eat, to dine out, to have contact with other people, to what we call a party. But now when music is made, this person really doesn't respond to it. His esteem and his interest in these things are much lower now. Just a sign of getting older. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. Now the writer simply removes himself from imagery, from metaphor, and just makes some plain, bold statements in case there might be some misunderstanding. And he's saying, look, do these things before you're afraid of high places, because that is a good indication of the fact that we're getting older. When we're afraid of falling, when we're afraid of breaking a bone, when we know that if we fall, we're in trouble. We didn't used to think that way. We wanted to climb trees and stand on the edge of things and look over the ledges. We were daredevils. We wanted to run and jump and climb, and the higher the better. But now, hey, stand back. I don't believe I need to climb up there anymore. And fear shall be in the way. You become conscious of all the things that can happen to you. You didn't used to worry about going to Kroger or Safeway. You weren't afraid if someone's going to snatch your purse or knock you down and get your keys and take your money and take your car. Now you're more cautious. Now you're cautious of the fact that there is danger. You drive slower. You drive more carefully. You look at things longer. You consider things more. Why? Because you're aware of the danger. You understand much more adequately the problems that can happen to you. And the almond tree shall flourish. The almond tree early had a sort of yellow tint to its flowers, but when it had been in bloom for a little while, then it became totally white. The almond tree was just a great white object. Has to be the hair before you get gray haired. I told someone the other day, our church is graying, and it really is. And I've been here, Betty and I have, and our family for 21 years, and I can tell that some of y'all are getting older. I see more gray hair here than I did when I came. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. Now, I know people have said that that means that the older people, you know, they're easily perturbed by the grasshoppers or mice or whatever happened to get in the house. Really, what he's saying is that the grasshopper is a visual revelation of how an older person has to walk. You look at the grasshopper as it walks, it sort of drags its legs. It moves slowly. It does not walk elegantly. And the writer is saying that at this particular time we get slower in our walk and we walk more like a grasshopper walks. And desire shall fail. That has to do with many things. But it simply means that the interest that we had in things at one time simply have little interest. And then he gives us the fatal conclusion. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. The long home here is our eternal home. All these things happen and then we die. But how do we die? Well, many people die suddenly. And that's described in verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken. Houses of those who were well off or wealthy at this particular time that this was written, they had chandeliers that were made of gold and silver and had little containers that they could put oil in and put a wick in and maybe have 6 or 8 of these shaped like a chandelier, just without the light bulbs, but with maybe little wicks and filled with oil. In order to fill them with oil, they had a cord tied up through a ring and then to the chandelier, and a long cord tied over and tied the wall. They'd untie it and they'd let it down to waist level, and they'd fill all the lamps with oil and they'd light them, and then they'd pull it up by pulling this cord. So like a pulley, raise it up high so that it would give light. And occasionally the silver cord that held up this chandelier that gave light would be loosed. That is, it'd come untied or it'd break. And when that happened, it just crashed to the center of the floor and the lights went out and there was catastrophe. And that's a figure of speech showing how some people seem to be alive and well, and all of a sudden they just fell and they were dead. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. This is how they drew their water. There was a rope and there was a pitcher, and you tied the rope to the pitcher and you let it down into the well and you drew up pitchers of water. Or there may have been a water wheel that turned, and as it turned it lifted water to irrigate the fields. And this showed the operation of the human heart, and it pumping and delivering blood, circulating. And they said sometimes people die because the picture and the rope, they break. Or the wheel that delivers water, it suddenly collapses and crashes and it can't function anymore. Highly indicative and picturesque, because it tells us of people who died of heart attacks. When it just all shut down, just like the wheel at the cistern being broken, or the rope that you draw water with breaking and nothing can happen anymore. Very euphemistic and yet highly descriptive of death from stroke, death from heart attack, and death simply because the body has just worn out. What happens then? Notice this progression. There is the youth, time of vigor and vitality and high energy, a time of optimism. And the writer says, give this time to God. Remember God at this time. Don't wait until you get to be an elderly person before you begin to think about God. Think about God now, and remember that God's going to judge all things for all of us. Then he describes how we get old and all the things that tell us that we're getting old. Our hands tremble, our legs weaken, our eyes dim. Our energy level is lower. Our interest in things is changed. And then something tragic happens. Stroke or heart attack. And then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Man is a creature who has life. And he has life because God gives life. But man cannot sustain life apart from God. If God decrees that life shall be taken from us, then life will be taken from us. We cannot give thought to living and therefore live. When it's time, it's time. When it's over, it's over. When the wheel is broken at the cistern, when the strong men of the house finally can arise no more, when the keepers of the house finally can be raised no more to defend it, when it's all over, then the entire thing, all of it, goes back to dust. What about the spirit? What about that is in us, that is not dependent upon the flesh, that is the real us? What about that thing that the Bible calls soul? What about that leaves the house when it caves in? What about that? It's called the spirit of man here. What about it? Well, if that decay or dead and dying body, if it goes to dust, then the spirit goes to the one who gives life and sustains life, and that's Almighty God. And he concludes by this, and really introduces next Sunday's message, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. That is, without purpose, without anything to depend upon. We just get born so we can get dead. We just live and die. We're dust. We're living dust and we'll be dead dust. But we're dust. And our only hope is God. There is hope in God. God gave his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in the scripture reading that Brother Pogue read this morning, he said, it is not that we're looking forward to being unclothed, that is dead. I'm not looking forward, Paul said, to losing my mortal body. That's a rather difficult thing to consider. It's like being naked. But Paul said, I'm looking forward to being clothed upon with immortality. I'm looking forward to having a body that is not subject to death. I'm looking forward to a time when I'll be clothed upon with immortality. Not a time of death and dying, of being a spirit without a body. But Paul said, I want to have a glorified body. I want to have a body that'll Live forever. That's the thing I'm looking forward to, and that's what we have in the New Testament, a revelation of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. I don't know really what to say that's profound. You know, what can we say? And these things just really happen to you. And you don't plan it. And you don't, just all of a sudden it's there. And we're getting more, there are more and more of us all along. You say, well, you just have to make the best of it. Brother Goodwin says life is a series of adjustments. He's sure right about that. And that's the profound thing we need to understand. You're just always getting over something and getting ready for something else. But there's not this kind of hopelessness that we see. There is hope in Christ. And not just to get by, but there's glorious hope in Christ. There are things fantastic. There are things beyond our thoughts, the Bible tells us. There are things beyond our comprehension. There is life after death. Quality life as well as quantity life. But you know, our eternalness, that is where we spend eternity, is tied directly to our attitude and belief in Christ. Believe in Him. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who will make it right. And outside of Him, there is no hope. Outside of Him, there is no spirit returning unto God.